You must stop judging unjustly. You must no longer be partial to the wicked. You must defend the rights of the poor and the orphans. You must be fair to the needy and the helpless. Rescue them. Rescue them from the power of evil people. This is the scripture for today. Remember the imperatives.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here today. The message this morning is entitled, The Spiritual Discipline of Resist. Well, the concept of peace is at the heart of most world religions. Christianity tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. The Muslim greeting, Assalamu alaikum, literally means, peace be with you. In Judaism, in Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom, which is derived, sort of a derivative of a word for God. And one of the purposes of the four tenets of Buddhism is to find peace. If there's one defining characteristic of all religions, it's peace. Peace is sort of the conceptual duct tape that holds religions together. One of the key ingredients for peace is social justice. The lack of social justice breeds discontent, non-cooperation, conflict, civil unrest, and at worst, war. And being that peace is the conceptual duct tape that holds religions together, it's not surprising then that social justice is also a theme of all major religions. It's somewhat surprising then, that so few individual religious communities spend time talking about social justice, more or less, actually getting out and doing the work of social justice. It's informative. It's informative to talk to those groups and point out the centrality of peace and social justice in their belief systems. And then ask them why they lack such things in their corporate practices. And frequently the answers are things like, well, we were just unsure how to go about it, or we're just too busy. Interestingly, those are the same responses you get when you ask certain communities about their prayer life or meditation life or spiritual studies. Now, knowing how difficult those kinds of things can be for people, and knowing how important they can be for a healthy spiritual development, many religions promote the concept of spiritual disciplines. Whether it's prayer or study or a meditation or any number of things, the concept is to practice these things on a consistent basis in order to both improve our ability to do them and in order to establish their importance in our lives and in our spiritual journeys. There have also been studies that suggest that spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices, have a direct and positive impact on our mental and emotional lives. And in some cases, like in yoga, they can also have a direct and positive impact on our physical health as well. Now, putting all of this together, I find it very surprising and somewhat disappointing that so few religions teach the active pursuit of social justice as a spiritual discipline. As I've noted, many folks who recognize the centrality of social justice in their religion do not spend much time actually doing acts of social justice. It may be that they aren't sure what to do, or maybe they're uncomfortable with what boots on the ground, what that kind of pursuit of social justice looks like. It could be any number of things. And That's sort of the beauty of making social justice a spiritual discipline. As I said, the concept of spiritual discipline is to practice something on a consistent basis in order to both improve your ability to do them and in order to establish their importance in your life and in your spiritual journey. It seems to me that that is exactly the answer to some of the hesitation that folks have in doing the work of social justice. A few years ago, I wrote an article that approached this idea of resistance as a spiritual discipline, but I did so from a more political point of view. But at its heart was the concept of making the work of social justice a spiritual practice. And I have to say, it seems to be a concept that has a lot of interest. Within the first 24 hours of posting that article, it had more than like 22,000 social media shares. And while that's certainly not a scientific measurement, it does seem to suggest that people are exceptionally interested in this idea. In the article, I said, I believe that we must start seeing resistance as a spiritual practice. It must be a daily discipline. It is our spiritual responsibility to stay informed. It is our faithful duty to stay vigilant. It is our moral obligation to make our voices heard and to share with those most in need the access that our places of privilege offer. You see, When Jesus was confronting the Sadducees and Pharisees, he wasn't just confronting religious leaders. They were also representatives of the government. Jesus wasn't crucified because he was some super awesome guy that quietly went around asking people to please be nice to each other. Jesus was crucified because the Roman authorities of the day saw him as a real threat to the state, a threat to political order, and most importantly, a threat to those in power. He was a threat because he directly and at times disruptively confronted the powers that be when they took advantage of their power at the expense of the least of these. As the cleansing of the temple story shows us, this was particularly true when they used religion to do it. Now, there's those who will try to argue that Jesus wasn't political. Ironically, they frequently are the very same people who want a Christian nation, of their own particular brand of Christianity, of course. The biblical reality, however, is that it is laughable to say that Jesus wasn't political. If you call yourself a Christian or at least place value even on the teachings of Jesus, you have no other option but to confront morally corrupt governments. We must stand up not only for our own rights and interests, but for the rights and interests of others. We must promote equality, justice, and love in our every action, but not fall victim to the false precept that to do so means we must do so timidly and with trepidation. From immigration rights to reproductive rights of women, we must come together and insist that our voices be heard at all cost, because the cost of not doing so is unimaginable. Resistance must become a spiritual discipline. How do we make it a spiritual discipline then? Well, start by doing something about it every day, even if it's just something small. Here's a short list of things you can put into practice on a daily basis. Contact your representatives. Let them know your position on current issues and encourage them to support their constituents rather than big business and big oil. Speak out publicly on issues of injustice. Blog, write op-eds for local papers, or make even small, simple social media posts promoting better ways forward. and encourage others to join in making resistance a daily practice. Volunteer locally, and particularly at agencies that might have their funding cut. Do not become complacent in the face of alternative facts. Counter them actively. Share resources. Be aware of where you get your news. Focus on reputable news sources. As much as possible, avoid the lazy approach of littering the presentation of your position with name-calling. In doing so, you're only appealing to those who already agree with you and distancing yourself from others who might have been convinced otherwise. Contribute to organizations and even individuals who are working to aid the resistance. Attend every march and demonstration that you can. And last on my list, promote and lift up those who are putting themselves, their careers, and quite possibly their personal welfare on the line for the sake of stopping draconian laws. Resistance must become a spiritual discipline. Repeat that to yourself on a daily basis. Resistance must become a spiritual discipline. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King made resistance, made social justice a spiritual discipline in his life. And as a result, the Montgomery bus boycott, which was originally and continued to be a political and social protest, it eventually led to the Supreme Court ruling that segregation on buses was unconstitutional. The dream that he told us about on the March on Washington was firmly rooted in his spiritual pursuit of social justice. We all know well the achievements of Dr. King, but let us not forget that he reached these goals not only with the underpinning of his own consistent pursuit of social justice, but also with massive support of people like you and me who are willing to make social justice in the world a daily personal pursuit as well. The pursuit of social justice must become a spiritual discipline. Social justice and spiritual discipline seem to be a part of lives of many of those who work successfully towards equality and rights for individuals, from Gandhi's Salt March to Dorothea Dix's constant lobbying on behalf of the mentally ill. Social justice and social practice has been at the core of many of our most important advances in human rights. Holocaust or Hashoah survivor, Nobel Peace Prize laureate and author Elie Wiesel tells us this: we must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. He also tells us sometimes we must interfere. When human lives are endangered and when human dignity is in jeopardy, national borders and sensitivities become irrelevant. Whenever men or women are persecuted because of their race, religion, or political views, that must, at that moment, become the center of our universe. And one last quote from him: there may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be times when we fail to protest. So I conclude by repeating: social justice must become one of our spiritual disciplines. We must stand up not only for our own rights and interests, but for the rights and interests of others. We must promote equality, justice, and love in our every action, but not fall to the victim to the false perspective. To do so means we must do so timidly or with trepidation. From immigration rights to the reproductive rights of women, we must come together and insist that our voices be heard at all costs, because the cost of not doing so is unthinkable. give you the opportunity to respond to today's scripture or message or the theme of the day, or that those who have thoughts that they'd like to share.
Well, I have a rebuttal for you. I think the primary issue for many people around acting for social justice is fear. And being of a different generation from you, I made a list of those things that have generated fear for many of us. As we read American history, the Indian raids and the scalping probably jumped off the pages of our history books, and we were afraid. We read about fascism, Nazism. We read about the Pilgrim's Salem witch trials and burnings. We read the book, The Scarlet Letter. And we probably experienced some of the threats of early 20th century Christianity, where we were told to obey the authorities, to respect them, to participate with them, rather than to stand up for the imperatives that the psalm writer gave us today. So, for me, I still deal with the fears. I still deal with that accumulated information of the past. And I probably am not going to be very overt in following the imperatives in today's scripture.
Yeah, and I would say that is certainly something that a place of privilege allows us to do. Mm-hmm. And that those who have very little are getting stepped on, even if they're afraid, don't have any choice. They have to try to speak out.
True.
And overcome the fears. And if we hope to stand beside them, maybe that's what we have to figure out how to do too, is to overcome our fears. And I think spiritual disciplines is a way of doing that. If you do it mm-hmm. daily in just small ways, something very small. I mean, it can just be a social media post to your friends that says, "I support women's reproductive rights." That is a practicing spiritual discipline. Mm-hmm. And you can start in small ways. And as we do it, we can overcome our fears as we see what the outcomes are.
And I think we need each other.
Of course.
Yeah. To have the courage and maybe the physical strength to get out there and do it.
And that was brought up after the talk at the early service, was how important having people to be supportive mm-hmm. are as well.
In the 1970s and 80s, there was a book written by Richard Foster. Any of you remember it? About discipline. I don't remember that he talks about the spiritual discipline that he recommends being that which drives us or encourages us to be out there on the street. I don't remember that part. Just remember it was a powerful book using the word discipline in a new way for many of us. So, anybody else?